Hey guys, Mirion here. There's a really interesting story we have to cover today. Capcom has released a massive report that destroys the entire narrative that gaming companies and journalists have been pushing for quite a while now, especially in recent years. That the allegedly sexist gaming industry has to fundamentally change itself, that gamers allegedly want it to become more politically correct, and that it needs to pander more towards women and their demands because they allegedly make up half of all gamers nowadays. A narrative that, as most people probably expected, isn't based in reality, but only an attempt to fundamentally change the gaming industry for the worse. So let's talk about this report that was just released by Capcom. It's more of a survey actually, called the Capcom Super Elections, where gamers across the globe were asked a multitude of questions. And we have a huge sample size here of over 250,000 people that participated to give their thoughts and opinions. And the results are very interesting, because especially in some areas, they debunk many ideology-driven narratives that are being pushed intensively, even though we've seen them harming the gaming industry. So let's take a look at some of the interesting parts of the survey. And again, it has a huge sample size and includes opinions of people from 220 countries. So I would argue that this paints a pretty accurate picture of how gamers across the world feel or think. What's interesting here is that the US is as expected the country that gave off the most votes, since it's one of the biggest and also the one with arguably the biggest gaming population. But closely behind them at number 2 we have Japan, which I also kinda expected, but considering just how much bigger the US is in comparison to Japan, it's crazy that Japan is so close behind them here. Showcases just how popular gaming is in Japan, I think. Bring their population up to match US numbers and they would easily be the biggest gaming nation. Another result that I wanted to just quickly highlight is the generation ratio of gamers. Understandably, most gamers are in their 20s and 30s, something that you will definitely see shift as time passes. I think in the upcoming years and decades, the percentages will diversify and those in their 40s and 50s will see a big increase, as gaming becomes more and more mainstream. But here comes the first really interesting result. They asked, what do you look for in video games? Capcom asked about Capcom games specifically, but the results can basically be applied to the entire industry. Most people said exhilarating gameplay is most important to them. At number 2, unique and attractive characters. At number 3, unpredictable and exciting storyline. At number 4, memorable and moving background music. And at number 5, depth for repeat play. So what you'll notice immediately is that these topics that many journalists have been claiming are extremely important to gamers are nowhere to be found. And yes, I'm talking about things like political messages, diversity, female representation, a big one, or LGBT themes, whatever. None of that is anywhere to be found. Nowhere near the top 10. Maybe somewhere way down the list, but barely anyone cares about those topics. Cause guess what? People just want good games. With good gameplay and good stories, characters, music, and pretty important, replayability. And I want to say a couple of things about replayability. What people want is games to last longer. Either make them longer without toning down the quality, or make them more replayable. And yet modern games are lacking in both regards. We have neither the one nor the other. Usually they happen to be the games that put a big focus onto those just mentioned political themes. They invest time, money and effort into making them more diverse and inclusive, as they call it. Which, as dumb as it is, doesn't pay off at all, and rather ends up excluding people and pushing them away from the game in the end. On top of that, everything those companies invest into that area, which is much more than you might believe, in both money and time, all of that then takes away from what they could've and should've invested into the areas of the game that are actually of importance to people. Companies like Rocksteady, Insomniac, Ubisoft and so many others are hiring consultation firms like Sweet Baby Incorporated to help them in making sure that their games get high ESG ratings by making them as diverse as possible, to make sure that women aren't depicted as too attractive, and that they aren't damsels in distress, but strong and independent, etc. Something that, as the survey showed, is exactly the opposite of what gamers want. At number 2 in the survey, people said that they want unique and attractive characters. And yet with those ESG guidelines in place and consultation firms working on the games, unique and attractive characters is the opposite of what's being encouraged and pushed currently. The Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League character artist has confirmed the industry bias against attractive female characters. It's very difficult to pitch beautiful or vain black women in games without them coming back like grocery store aunties. Del Walker, the character artist of the Suicide Squad game, put out a tweet where he wrote, "There's been a handful of times I've pitched black women characters that look like this, then after 10 iterations the concept or model comes back without a speck of the original beauty I pitched." And then followed it up with, "I'm not talking about mild changes. I'm talking about pose, aura, style, softness, age, flair. I hate giving Gamergate men fuel, but it's very difficult to pitch beautiful or vain black women in games without them coming back like grocery store aunties. There is room for both." So he doesn't want to admit that gamers had complained about the uglification of female characters were right, but he just admitted that that's exactly what he has noticed happen while working in the industry. Admitting that what the industry is doing is wrong, and yet still opposing gamers that have the same criticism. It's because of cowards like that that the industry is going downhill. But that confirmation coming from the character artist of Suicide Squad makes sense, because the game is a prime example of everything wrong with the current state of the video game industry. Characters like Harley Quinn were uglified and toned down, and other female characters like Poison Ivy or Amanda Waller didn't get it much better either. And it's a game that the consultation firm Sweet Baby Inc. worked on. Something that's pretty apparent, not just from the female character designs, but the political themes featured in the game, and the typical consequences that come out of games that SBI or any consultation firm was associated with. A short story and no replayability. The opposite of what gamers want. I mean, you get like 10 hours of gameplay out of the game, and won't have any motivation to play it again, cause it's just not good. And that's what you spend $70 on, maybe even more. That's just insane. And looking at other games that hired consultation firms, they all suffer the same fate. Whether it's Insomniac Spider-Man 2 or Assassin's Creed Valhalla, both way too short. Spider-Man 2 will take you around 20 hours, which is better than Suicide Squad, but not good either. Especially if the game itself isn't even good despite being that short. But that's a reoccurring theme and consequence of most games that go down this path of trying to make their game as diverse, inclusive, and politically correct as possible. Their games end up being the exact opposite of what gamers care about. And yet that's the reason why games are so bad, why their budgets are so high, and why they're taking so damn long to make. It would be so easy to simply listen to their target audience and to simply give them what they want. And yet many of them don't even seem to know who their target audience is, cause they keep targeting the wrong group of people with their games, and then act surprised whenever their game isn't selling good enough. Yet that's also something that the Capcom survey clarified. Probably the most important part of the survey, the male and female ratio. 82% of the gamers that took part were male, while only 14% were female. Not only a huge difference, but a huge contrast to what gaming companies and journalists have been claiming for years now. That half of all gamers are women, and thus the industry needs to pander more to women's wants and demands. And yet, this result clearly debunks that idea that half of all gamers are women. And it's not even close to that, which doesn't surprise me at all. And yet they're pushing this idea to pressure gaming companies into changing their games or their company structure, with plenty of articles claiming that around half of all gamers are women, and then demanding that there's more female representation needed behind video games and in video games. Or articles writing, "Half of all gamers are female, but only a small portion identify as a gamer." Yeah, and do you want to know why only a small portion identifies as gamers? Because only a small portion of them are actual gamers. Cause what those journalists are doing is using a trick that they won't tell you. When they speak of gamers, we think of the ones playing computer or console games. But what they're doing here is also counting people that play some mobile game every now and then. Games like Candy Crush, some gardening games, puzzles, etc. Things that most gamers wouldn't consider to be gaming. That's why even most women said that they wouldn't consider themselves as gamers. Cause that's pathetic. If we are counting those mobile games, then even my mother is a gamer in that sense. And I can guarantee you, no sane person would consider her to be a gamer. As this survey states, Match 3 and Family and Farming Simulator gamers are most likely to be female. In fact, these two genres are head and shoulders above any other genre in terms of percentage of female gamers. The next highest genre is a full 27 percentage points lower in its proportion of female gamers. That supports the point I just made. If women happen to play video games, it's mostly just family or farming simulators or some puzzle games. And other than that, most of them just play mobile games. There we have their entire narrative crumbling to the ground. Anyone that truly plays video games knows that the statistics are nowhere near 50-50. If 50% of gamers are women, then 40% of those 50% play mobile or Facebook games. That's not to say women aren't welcome to play the same games as guys. Many do, and those that do seem to have as much fun as guys, if not even more so, because they get all the attention. But the reason as to why women are nearly as much of gamers as men is not the fault of video games as a medium. There's more than enough games for women as there is for men. But the reason is that most women simply aren't interested in games. And that's fine. They don't have to like the same things that men like. Men and women are different. And no one should expect gaming companies to make more games for women when the women the game is targeted at don't end up buying it in numbers high enough to justify the expenses. And yet they're being pressured to do so with articles using this disingenuous statistics that claim half of their audience are female when that's not the case at all. And yet journalists have increased the pressure on the industry, no matter how weird their arguments are. Like, this study appears to have analyzed 13,000 game characters and found out that the male ones have twice as much speaking time as the female ones. Now, they don't clarify how they chose those characters, but either way, who would have thought that male characters would have more dialogue in an area where they're represented in much larger numbers? Or articles like this one from The Guardian saying, "Video games need more women, and asking for that won't end the world." Written by Keza McDonald, who I must say, even looks like someone who would write such an article. No offense. Or articles claiming that the gaming industry still has a sexism problem, which is probably an argument that they will never stop making. Even if it's not true, the gaming industry is allegedly sexist, the Star Wars community is allegedly sexist, the Marvel and DC communities are allegedly sexist, and so on. There's constantly articles coming out complaining about some fandom being sexist, especially whenever a product with a female lead ends up flopping, even if it had nothing to do with the lead being female, like with Star Wars The Acolyte currently. This argument annoys me so much, because it's simply not true. There are a few bad apples in every fanbase, but the vast majority isn't sexist. Journalists and companies just love to make that argument whenever a female-led movie, show or game ends up failing. And yet of course they never bring that up whenever a female-led project is beloved and successful. There are a lot of disingenuous people in the industry, but they keep getting exposed and proven wrong. And eventually, no one will believe them anymore. And it's only a matter of time, especially with such big surveys like the one Capcom published. Male gamers have nothing against more female gamers existing. Quite on the contrary, I think. But stop making up or spreading obvious lies. But I thank you a lot for listening to me rambling for so long. I hope you got something out of this video. If you enjoyed it, I would really appreciate if you could leave a like, share the video, leave your thoughts in the comments, and subscribe to the channel. I really appreciate any kind of support. So make sure to subscribe and follow me on Twitter for updates as well. You'll find me under Nerion or by clicking the link in the video description. But with that said, I hope you have a wonderful day, and I'll hopefully see you again in the next one. Till then, take care.